have a quorum, and we do wish to thank Mike for raising the bar, for being the chairperson of this committee. Yes, I read the minutes and saw that you were able to achieve a 59-minute session.
Let's see if we can do that again.
You want to do it again?
We had no action items, so.
Well, my apologies for not being here. That's the first time in 6 years I've missed a meeting like this. And but my reasoning for that, or excuse for that, I guess, is that very late in the process, I received a call inviting me to attend a very small group going to Cuba, to Havana. And the reason they invited me was because I had been there before, back in 1954, when I was a youngster in the Navy and was involved in some work on land there. And I won't go into all that, but main thing is they wanted me as a color commentator, the difference between then and now. And the difference is for story. But I won't go into that now. However, if any of you are interested, after the next meeting we have, I will select only 10 slides to show you, and with some descriptors and some explanations of what is happening in Havana and the countryside as well. In a socialistic society, it's a different world. But if you're interested, you can hang around after the meeting, 10, 15 minutes or so. And I will explain a little bit about what's going on, what happened, et cetera, et cetera. However, this evening we have an approval of the minutes for the February the 20th regular meeting, and you all had an opportunity to review those. And it looks as though there was obviously a lot of discussion at that meeting, maybe no action items, but
correct.
But you directed them well, I'm sure. Yes. So is there any comments on the minutes? Or if not, I would certainly accept a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
There's a motion to approve by Tom Shea. Do I hear a second?
I have a second.
Second by Ms. Bendy. Motion is made and seconded. Any comments on the minutes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. And we have an open forum with a vast empty room here. Yes. Overview of construction project and associated costs, Jeremy and Chris.
I'm going to let Chris take it.
Let's hear it, Mr. Jeremy. I might have, before you begin, a few words about Mr. Jeremy.
A few words.
I had the privilege and opportunity and honor of observing Mr. Jeremy in action in a political scene. You would never believe how he is so oriented politically in an environment which involves his trying to wrestle up some votes for himself. Yes, it was with the Texas Association of School Board meeting in Fort Worth, and a very large meeting, 3,500 people or so. And each year they vote on directors of the organization. And in that group, in that organization, there are two basic groups, the operations people and the finance people. Finance people, by a long shot, have been directors. Now, there have been some operations people. However, he fought the tide. The tide barely won. I won't tell him, but I did find out how much. And it was not very much. But he is vowing to do it again.
I'm going to swim up.
You wouldn't have recognized him up there. He was working it. I mean, like a bee, shake hands, hello, vote for me. It was good, Jeremy.
Yeah. I wore the button the entire time. There's only so much we can do.
That's
we can't
true.
We can't have, you know,
no,
signs and all
no,
that. So.
No.
It was fun. It was an exciting time.
But
we'll, next year. Next year's going to be.
Next year's his time.
He keeps working at it. I might vote for him next time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
little did I know. He's got to.
He's the finance guy.
Yeah.
Here, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
The musician was there.
Yeah. Start next door next time. Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, let's hear it.
Thank you, Dr. Flathouse. So update real quick on a number of projects that I've kind of picked out for you, like I usually do. I don't want to run down all of them. But and then, of course, we have an action item later that we will have further discussions about. I'm going to go straight to BO1. I'll let Eric do A if he wants to talk about that after it works. But I want to jump to BO1, the HVAC renovation. So we did award the contract for Cedar Creek at the February 27th board meeting. So we're good there. We're under budget. That's a good place to be. One thing is we are wrapping up the contract with American Constructors that did all the work last summer, trying to close that out so we can accept the available funds that are left over within that contract. So we have a credit change order coming through there. So there's... HVAC, we're going to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish with that line item. And then I'm going to jump real quick, give a brief overview of BO3. That's the fire system. And so we did receive bids. What we're trying to do, I want to come before you tonight, is to review where we are with the bid being over budget that I've spoke about last meeting. But give the finer details. And our goal is to recommend that to the board next Tuesday's board meeting. But we'll have discussions a little later because I have some slides I want to share with you on some breakdown. It's a whole lot easier than me just trying to express that here in this chair. All right, so we're going to jump next to B11, the canopies. We have received our proposal. It's right around $242. Right, so we're about $6,000 under that budget, so we're good there. We'll be awarding that, recommending the awarding of that at Tuesday's board meeting. All right, next page, B14, kitchen expansions. We're getting the final numbers. We've got some preliminary, getting the final numbers tomorrow on both of those. And we are looking to award those next Tuesday if everything works out. All right.
Okay.
And then let's jump all the way to DO4.
Let me stop.
Yes, sir.
A minute, Jeremy. Back in the kitchen expansion.
Yeah.
I had occasion to speak with one of the vendors there for kitchen equipment and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking him, how many schools really are now expanding their kitchen facilities? He said, well, not too many, because the culinary arena is not too active in many places. However, some certainly do. That's why he's still in business and doing a very good business in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but...
yeah, give a little detail even on these projects to give you kind of scope of work.
Yeah.
So at West Ridge... we have freezers that are in vertical reach-in cabinets, okay? So we're trying to get that into an actual box, a walk-in freezer. The cooler is outside. It's just sitting on the sidewalk, I mean, practically. And so it's outside. That's not the great area for it. So we're bringing it into our old central plant that is empty now after doing a renovation about 5 years ago. So we're moving everything inside. They can walk right from the kitchen into a space where they can store goods, but also have a separate freezer and cooler walk-in cabinet, okay? So West Ridge, that's within the envelope. At Eanes, again, outside, small refrigerator cabinet. So they have to walk out in the rain, the snow, the sleet, the heat, just to get into it. And so we are adding on to where they will be accessing a new cooler freezer combination unit walk-in, but they'll be inside, so we're covering it and building walls around it and adding on to the foundation. So that's kind of the scopes of both of them, a little bit different
Well, that certainly helps when you're talking to the neighbor over the backyard fence.
Yeah.
Saying, what is all this about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can easily explain that on the examples right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so one, we're taking over already space that's available. The other one, we have to add some space and close it, basically enclosing the freezer cooler.
Okay. So in both instances, we're basically addressing food storage issues as opposed to expansion of the service area or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. Even the prep area, nothing really. What you do residual, though, you gain maybe some storage space,
right?
And gaining that access. And again, at Eanes, they have a reach-in freezers. It's just it's hard to manage that type of equipment. So you have multiple pieces of equipment here. We have one cabinet. They'll last 25 years. And so that's what we're trying to do is have those bulk storage areas for them, take them out of the actual kitchen area, give them more space for prep. Okay. DO4 real quick, the NOC, we are looking to award that on Tuesday as well. We're still working on cutting some costs there. Bid came in about $400. I would like it more around the $350 area, so then we can introduce technology and furniture and feel a little more comfortable there. So that's where we are. We should be really close to there when I get that proposal back tomorrow. Everything looking promising. So with that, if I could, Eric, anything on A besides what you want to talk about later?
Sure. Just had a little movement on A09 over spring break, and just the week before, we did phase two of the network switch rollout to this facility, Central Admin, and adjacent portables in the Rock House. Those are completed. We also upgraded the switches at the District Operations Center and Adult Transition Services facility as well. So those are completed. We did receive from A wireless E06, we received the access points to do phase two, which will allow us to do this facility, finish out the District Operations Center at ATS as well, and some of those other fringe areas at the campuses, and fill in some areas that have been troublesome in the past. So we're just waiting on scheduling for those.
Did you?
Okay. See a clicker?
Because
I did some really fancy stuff with the words flying in.
Let's see. You got it? Are you driving now?
I will.
Okay.
So looking at increasing the budget for Forest Trail, we've talked about this, I think, the last two meetings. If you remember, Forest Trail Fire Sprinkler was one of those projects the fire marshal kind of pushed on us. After doing the HVAC renovation, the walls don't go all the way up to the roof. And so two options, build the walls to the roof. No, we're not going to do that. Or do fire sprinklers. And so fire sprinkler was the plan. And then we wrote letters to them promising that we'll do it within this bond, etc. So last summer, talked to them. Need to do a split system. We split it to phases. First phase was bringing all the main valves and doing the gym, cafeteria, and office area. So about a third of the space. And so this summer, doing phase two, went out to bid and got a number that shocked all of us. And so what we had to do is really circle back around with the contractors, sit down with them, negotiate where we need to be, where we are, what's driving those costs. So right now, that bid proposal is at $398,000. When we first received the bid, it was at $592,000. So after multiple meetings, sitting down with that contractor and going over the scope, we've actually decided to, with the fire sprinkler installer, using the same one as last year, so they know the ins and outs of that campus, and they actually did the design, we're able to cut $194,000. Okay, so that's kind of where we sit at $398,000. All right, so soft costs, about $12,000, permits, fees, etc. Right now, phase two total project cost of $410,000. All right? Okay. So bond budget, 537,020 is our entire bond budget.
I want to point out, though, that the bond budget fire system updates was not originally for what
fire
we're
sprinklers.
Doing now.
Correct. So within the fire sprinklers, that this budget, 537,020, was not developed in terms of a fire sprinkler.
What was the amount of phase one? The total cost of phase one?
Okay, no. So I'll get to it, but number was 464 was the contract price. For phase one was 464, okay? And so the rest of that 479,723 is over at Barton Creek doing upgrades to their fire panel, okay? So this is where we sit. You'll see it on the chart. Is at 479,723 as of February 28th. All right, leaving a balance of 57,297. All right, so we take what our costs are right now. That leaves a shortfall of $352,703. One of the drivers here are the amount of ceiling work that we have to do, which we've limited as much as possible, because we're putting a fire sprinkler system in a newly renovated area, so you're not going to tear all the ceilings out. And so trying to work with that, changing the pipe from a Schedule 40 pipe to a Schedule 10 pipe. What that does, a little thinner wall, but what it allows us to do is get shorter sticks. So we get 8 to 10 foot sticks that we can manipulate up into that ceiling without having to take it apart. Okay, so we'll have to demo all the ceiling, limit it to just small areas, and that's what we've been working on. So that was one. We have to demo ceilings in some areas, and that's very costly. We can't just give this contract to a fire sprinkler installer because they don't do ceilings, they don't do paint, they don't do fire alarms, and so they're not comfortable with that. So what happens is we have to have a general contractor do this installation, just like we did in phase one. Another one that's hitting this, don't know exactly how much, but it's a significant number, is, just talking to Chris about this, is the tariffs, right? Those tariffs on steel and aluminum, which went into place March 8th, this is all steel. It's all steel pipe. And so that's a 25% tariff on foreign steel. And so there is some of that impact in here, right, anticipating those tariffs. So that's going to affect the industry right now. It's affecting about 10% construction costs right now, depending on the type of construction. So ultimately, where are we going to see this go? I don't know. But that is impacting the overall price. And also, you're looking at about $5 to $10 per square foot on fire sprinkler systems, depending on the complexity. We're about at $9 a square foot on this phase. Okay. And a lot of that has to do with retrofitting it into an existing building without tearing all the ceilings down. One way we've done it cheaper is to do it while you're doing the HVAC renovation. That's what we've done at Valley View, etc. All the ceilings are down, you're just throwing pipe up there and going. So that's one aspect that's impacting the cost. So contractor's been very good in negotiating and getting that down by obviously $194,000. And still having $40,000 in contingency left in there that hopefully we don't have to use. So that's kind of where we sit right now on the shortfall, right? So where does that shortfall come from? Take it from unallocated. But I want to give an update on what I anticipate. So potential program cost returns from different projects. The HVAC replacement, based on the contract with American Constructors, we're going to return between Forest Trail Fire Sprinkler and the HVAC renovations at the high school in Hill Country, $332,000 in contingencies and allowances. So $179,550 of that will go back to the HVAC replacement line item. $158,000 will come back to the Forest Trail Fire Sprinkler from that savings credit CO. Placement of the windows is going to return $53,704 when we close that out in August. And then the stadium's PA system is going to return approximately $60,000. So just in the potential program cost returns estimates, just between those four lines,
we have 451,254. Okay, and so covering the $352,000 shortfall we have right now. So if we pull from our unallocated in order to cover for forest trail fire sprinklers, which we have to complete per the fire marshal, we have some estimated returns that will go back to those line items, ultimately not earmarked for any specific projects, should replenish the unallocated funds that we're pulling out, plus some. And these are just four line items that we're confident with at this point.
So to be clear, that's in addition to the roughly 800,000 that we've got sitting in unallocated.
Basically, just to clarify what it is that we'd be seeking to do, because this money is not ready to be reallocated yet. Correct. But we expect it to be. What we would like to do is cover that shortfall with the scope change from the unallocated funds, with just with the understanding that they'll be replaced by these other projects. So it's not a direct transfer from these to that line item.
And so that's just a closing out POs and contracts kind of timing thing. So I need to tell the story.
I'd like to piggyback on Mike's question. Okay. So today, we have how much unused, unallocated, refunded money to date on projects complete?
On projects?
In other words, we have an accrual of funds that were on the bond for specific line items, and but they're closed out, and so they're in reserve. You have a projection of this shortfall with an anticipation of further augmentation of that fund of the 451. Mm-hmm. Mike said, what, 800?
So there's unallocated interest of 528, the e-rebate revenue of 234.
Seven.
So it's actually 900, pardon me.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you about that.
76, so it's 900. And then unallocated funds of 148. So sitting on the books today, not counting that. It's roughly 900.
Let's don't count that eBay rebate, because we're going to ask you for that.
It's something else.
Yeah. Whenever Jeremy gets done talking.
Trying to do this simple math.
Yeah. 677,000.
So 677. Okay. 677.
There you go.
Okay. Nice to have a big fat drawer like that. I wish I had one in my house.
So I just want to clarify. So your BO3 FTEs fire sprinkler, you're showing a savings of 158,000. Mm-hmm. Now, we were just talking about 57,000 from remaining for the bond budget. Where does that help me understand where that savings when we're over budget over here?
Okay, so what we wanted to do is not realize that 158 in the summary for the fire system. So what I'm going to do, I'll run down this one more time. So we have the bond budget, we have what we spent right now. That leaves us 57,297. That's what we have right now in that ledger item, okay, on the chart. And then we have to spend 410, a contract for 410, to complete this summer's project. So we have a shortfall of 352,703. So this 352,703 is the real number that we're dealing with here as a committee on what we need to use unallocated funds to cover, is that number.
The savings credit, though, that you referenced, the 158, is that coming back from expenditures and money that's already spent?
Good question. So, Dina, inside this total expenditures and encumbrances, the 479,723, within that is that 158. Okay? And so within contingencies and allowances is when that change order will credit back this line item by $158,000.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. Sorry, So within that 479 is 158. Hopefully that ain't confusing.
And just to be clear, too, the BO1 HVAC, even though you show money back, I mean, we have cut back the scope from what was originally intended with that item, right?
So the HVAC, Cedar Creek, the only thing we're not accomplishing are the heat recovery units at Cedar Creek.
because they are large units.
Right.
We can defer that. And so we don't have enough money to do those.
Right, I know. Just in previous meetings, you said, you know, yep. well, we put it in this, and we don't have enough budget yeah. for that. So we're gonna do what we felt needed. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. you know, so nothing.
Yeah. So there are still.
If you had unlimited budget, you might go do some more HVAC work that we're not going to do right now.
Potentially, yeah. But with identifying those heat recovery units as large units that could get us probably to the next bond.
Yeah. Okay.
So and even with that, we still have. You see that we're going to sign a contract for $777,000 for the renovation there, and we have $877,000 right now. And then we're going to credit it back. So there is still some additional funds.
And so this was kind of an unusual thing that popped up. Refresh me on how it popped up, and I guess then do we have the potential for an unusual fire prevention pop up at mm-hmm. Cedar Creek or Orleans or something?
So I can go through timing. So how the timing worked is Forest Trail. This is all identified in a walkthrough with the fire marshal for the Forest Trail HVAC renovation that was completed in the summer of 2015 as part of the 2011 bond.
Right.
So that was all 2011 bond completed in 2015. We identified it. Well, guess what? We had already the bond, right? We got 2015 bond, so we couldn't add it to the 2015 bond in the proposal. And so doing already fire system upgrades, we were able to upgrade the fire panel at Forest Trail and Barton Creek. Right, for a low mm-hmm. amount, leaving residual funds to cover this project that still falls underneath the scope of the fire systems. So the timing was right, kind of right at the beginning of the 15 bond.
So. I mean, I don't know if it's thinking of too simplistically, right? Whenever you touch something in a commercial building, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you've got to bring things
oh,
up
sure.
to code and everything else. So are we sitting on a... you know, something ticking at Eanes, because the second we want to go repair something, we're going to go, you know, we know that we have other, you know, sprinkler systems in building X, Y, and Z. Yep. I mean, are we aware of anything?
No, not at this point. Most of the time, those are brought up through extensive renovations. You know, Bridgepoint, we had some of those. You know, that we had to add fire sprinklers in some areas, but we had a contingency that covered those. Cedar Creek, I don't foresee any of those. We're really not even working on the inside of Cedar Creek. We're really
so
just...
when we did the fine arts at Hill Country and Westridge...
No, we found some... you remember those. We found some surprises over Westridge.
Yeah, you found an issue, but you didn't find fire related.
No. So I don't see any... With the projects that we still have to complete, I don't foresee any... fire system pop-ups. I get what you're saying for the line item.
Right.
For the line item, I don't foresee them.
Because that's the question, is like before we start talking about the next bond, mm-hmm. is there a way to go in and get some idea about any lurking things like this in our nine campuses?
Yeah. The ones that we know of, right, are those that we identify to know that we need to, that we should be able to get to the next bond. Otherwise, I'd be coming to you right now saying we need to complete this, 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 and this. And they do come up. But I don't see with the projects that we have right now, it shouldn't trigger. I don't see any triggering coming forth with these projects right now. But could something pop up tomorrow?
Well, it's not even so much possibly. Like trigger. I mean, like basically, can we go in and do an analysis on each of our buildings to ensure that their fire safety systems are all...
Yeah, we do it every day. Yeah, we do. So knowing that we need to make repairs, et cetera.
But like FTE still took y'all by surprise.
Well, that was fire marshal. That was induced by the project only.
Uh-huh.
That should have been identified prior to awarding the project.
Yeah.
And that should have been identified underneath a review by city and the fire marshal. It wasn't until walked in and looked up, and he's like, oh my goodness. So based on the plans, it looked fine, but on site. So that was usually those are going to be picked up prior to actually walking on site with the fire marshal during the project.
Okay.
So the other thing that's generating from the news and stuff, we've talked a lot about security cameras and sure. whatnot, and I really almost hate to bring this up, but just, sure. just to stay ahead of the uh-huh. public, right, can we adequately represent that, hey, as part of this bond, we have increased and, you know, we feel great about the, you know, the you know, yeah. access systems and video coverage, you know, and we've just put in new servers and additional things. Yeah, I saw yeah. Dr. Leonard.
And one thing is, I would say we've been able to make strides because of this committee and the conversations that we've had. If you remember when we had the conversation and when John was here, yeah. we had those and we kind of pivoted a little bit on what we were to do in phase three of those cameras. And doing those servers, we have all that work done. We have a consistent retainage of video. We have our cameras up, and we've been reviewing them like you saw in the letter every single day to make sure that our cameras are up and running. We are in a good place right now. And so because of this committee and what we've been able to do with the bond, we've been able to get into a good place that we are comfortable with. Not just adding cameras and replacing them, but also getting that retainage and getting those servers upgraded. And so I could represent that we are in a good place when it comes to security cameras. Do we have every square inch covered? No. But we have everything that we have identified, we have installed and covered appropriately. But we do manage those and look at those all day.
These two questions, I think, are really helpful in the sense that preparing for the next bond, preparing, and there's a point in time where you want to work on, you don't want to disclose things too early, you don't want to get any mutterings going on prematurely. But as we explore line items and have we used the bond money and will they pop up again with a higher price tag
yep.
on the next bond and why wasn't it taken care of on this bond? As a group, I think it would be helpful for the administration to kind of, you know, maybe kind of go over the report card of the successes and the, we need to look ahead, and you know, this line item is going to come up again in the next bond. We're not going to be real specific about the why and what fours now, but just to have a sense of accomplishment, a sense of the reality of the accomplishment. You know, 5 years ago we said, oh, we need this much money for this line item, and we are here 5 years later and we've got 127 grand to put over somewhere else that will be used for something else that we underpriced.
Well, such a meeting to do that is already been scheduled. This will probably be our last meeting.
There you go.
And it's scheduled to do that. And great. We will also make the recommendation for the unallocated funds.
I think that's where that conversation happens.
In addition yeah. to which, then, we'll make recommendations for the future.
Perfect. It's my first rodeo, so now I'm learning. Yes.
I know that I've already gotten feedback from friends who, when the you know there's a news in the paper about the new desk, like, why aren't you spending that debt, you know, that money? And I actually sure. said, it's because the bond does, you know, it's like, that was what the money was set for. You can't take all that money for the bond, you know, for
and
the
just
desk.
Just shove everything
and
over into security.
Turn it into security money.
uh-huh. But you, well, yeah, as a district, as a bond oversight committee, you have that, so towards the end, right, when we look at those unallocated, right, that's when you have that option to really evaluate the needs, right? And obviously that's a need not only for this committee but for the district, for everyone in the community. And so maybe that's that opportunity. But I understand it's a hard one to say that, you know, we spend everything but $9,000 on safety. You know, it's a lot of people just want to shove all that money. But we need to accomplish what we promised to the voters first, and then right. we can look at some of those right. other opportunities.
So, yes. Jeremy, who failed to realize the fire system needed to be upgraded at Forest Trail?
Yeah, I would say nobody. Because what happens is, if you go, you don't, so what breaks the threshold, you don't necessarily know until the fire marshal tells you. What you like to do is when you design the plans and you go through review, you identify that need, and you're able to pivot before you go signing contracts.
Right.
So then, okay, we need that, but we need to go back, look at the contract, make negotiations, bring a contractor in, and go move forward appropriately. And so at this point, the project was already underway. There would be no way to get an installer in there, because you have to design them. They have to be approved, the fire sprinkler designs. There wasn't enough time to complete it.
And there just wasn't institutional memory, basically. Like, nobody remembered that this was going to, you know, that the fire system or the lack of walls was there or something.
Yes,
you know,
so why for this fire sprinkler is because the building, when it was constructed, the concrete block masonry walls did not go all the way up to the roof deck. Right. They just go above ceiling and they just stop. But
I mean, it's sort of worst case scenario that the fire marshal walks in the midst of a project when it's almost finished and everybody goes, oh yeah, and we're not pointing, at least just for future reference, that when you renovate, all mm-hmm. our facilities are aging, and when you renovate them, somebody needs to be on top of the newest codes. I mean, we just had a guy build a $2 million house in our neighborhood mm-hmm. and failed to put in a fire sprinkler.
Yes, because of square footage.
His architect didn't realize Travis
County. You got to know those.
Has implemented fire sprinklers
and they did that like
construction
7 years ago.
Luckily, I mean, they're calling me as president of the homeowners association, the fire marshal, and saying, "Do you know who's building that house? We're going to come down on him because we walked in it and there's no fire sprinkler." Mm-hmm. So the guy had to stop construction. Luckily, it was just framed out. Oh. And he put in a fire sprinkler system. He missed it by. He was really
close. There's $70,000.
So it's almost the same thing happened to us. This cost us a lot more money because someone, and I'm not anxious to point fingers, mm-hmm. but someone failed to go, there's no way this building, or is there a possibility this building doesn't meet existing fire codes? We need to go check it out. And nobody did that.
But your architectural review committee got a little bit of an email.
Yeah. And again, with most of these designs, we rely on the municipalities.
Oh, is it? We're not responsible. For we don't oversee.
No, thank goodness.
We approved his construction. We said you need to make sure you go get all the county.
Yeah.
Your septic system.
Subsequent to approval under code.
And so somebody on your contractor's end was an oopsie there.
It would have been great. It would have been great foresight. To see that. I mean, it really would.
Is it that the fire marshal didn't see it on the plans, but saw it on the site? Is it that? Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is always pre-walk it with the fire marshal. We know the fire marshal. We see him like every other day. You know, pre-walk it with him, have him poke his head around and see if there's anything that pops up. One thing we found at Valley View, just the story. At Valley View, so we pop ceiling tiles and we look up there and there's insulation, paper-faced insulation, with chicken wire underneath the entire, or underneath the second floor, on the first floor ceiling, just everywhere. Wires run all on it. It's just, he's like, but we walked it with him. He's like, you got to get that out, right? And so then we hurried and cut all the chicken wire and pulled it down and pulled the insulation down just because of fire code. And so that was one thing while we walked through it with him that was identified. Now, to tell timing on Forest Trail, did he walk through there? Before the project, I don't believe so, but again, I can't point fingers either. But we do rely on the municipalities to give us feedback on those plans.
So. It's a checklist item now, right? Mm-hmm. Ensure fire sprinkler system is
And always, this is one thing, what I've learned, just ask. If you think, oh, I hope we don't have to do a fire sprinkler, it'll cost a lot of money, let's not say anything. You'd never do that. You always ask them. Of course, they're always going to say yes. But, you know, you always ask them. You always ask them because then you'll be covered, and the timing, this timing thing won't happen, right, to where you have to go back in there. You want to get it all done at one time.
So had we not ahead of time, we would have not been in quite the same financial bind, perhaps.
There'd be a net difference,
like
possibly.
It might still be more than we anticipated.
Of course, yeah.
But perhaps not quite as much more.
And adding firewalls was definitely looked at, or was it just not?
That's a lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work to make all those firewalls, partitions and everything. So it was deemed this would be more appropriate action.
That is one of the most prevalent reasons why in all these apartments, at least the older ones, that do not have partitions, etc., extending on up the block, the fire blocks up in the attics, where the fire gets into the attic, that's gone. Yeah. They just go up and smoke.
Yeah. And you also have to look at which one would you rather have, sprinkler systems or firewalls? Yeah. Partition walls or fire sprinklers, you know? We never want that water coming out.
When the contractor came back with the jaw-dropping bid that surprised everyone,
yeah.
Was there any consideration given to reopening that bid back out?
Yes.
Was that feasible? Was that something that was...
So we did contemplate that, and we felt, for one, this contractor probably wouldn't show back up. and then the rest of them, so what happens when you go out to bid with a general contractor, they open it up to all their subs. And so this one had, I think, 5 fire sprinkler subcontractors, installers, bid that project. And the one company, Vanguard, that did last year bid and was by $18,000, I think, the low bidder, right? So no matter what, on the general contractor side, you're going to get a percentage fee on top. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes fire sprinkler systems aren't as appealing to some of the general contractors out there. And this was too difficult for a installer to be a prime contractor to where everything runs underneath them. Mm-hmm. And if this was a brand new install, you would have had 100 contractors bid on it, right? But needing a general contractor limited some of that competition, but this contractor really didn't want it to go out to bid because they didn't want to have to rebid it and go through that process. And we gave them 3 to 4 weeks to bid on this thing, so we gave them ample time to let those bids come in. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure we gave them ample time, mm-hmm. and they just didn't show up. And we were early, right? So we were in February. You know, so it wasn't a matter of they're already booked. And so I think it's a great environment to receive bids. Mm-hmm. Now that 592, luckily worked with this contractor in the past, and they know what our expectations are. And so they were able to knock a lot off that price. I don't know if you'd get below 398.
Right. Okay.
Because there's so many unknowns. And this contractor, so the contractor's doing the general contractor's doing this install, did the HVAC renovation. So they know that campus inside and out. They know that those partition walls, you know, they knew that this was coming up, actually. And so that in and of itself, I think, allowed us to be able to receive that $194,000 reduction.
So that was some of our leverage, was them not wanting it to go back out, or them just...
It actually
was. Them just knowing...
It actually was.
The site and...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing what our expectations are, they've worked with us before. They've been on that site. And so that, I think that was a value. That's a value add to some degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather them know what they're getting into than not know what they're getting into and give me a low price.
Yeah.
And then we're dealing with all kinds of other issues.
You're going to address this in an action item?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just one
memo. There'll be a memo with this, and then there'll be an action item about this, and got to tell that story.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of layout... You know, we're going to spend money, but we got money. We have money coming back because this is a significant dip into unallocated, right? But we want to make sure that we're replenishing that as well. That's what we do within all these projects.
Well,
make sure that we can do that.
I looked at this and saw this the first time you've done it this way, and it's very mm-hmm. open.
Yeah,
and easily explainable. Then, yes.
And it happened because of that big change order credit that's coming.
Right.
That's not here yet, but it's coming. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't want to confuse anybody.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. So, do we need a motion
on this? We go forward.
Or go
to the next action.
I got all my animations.
We'll get the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
They fly in from
everywhere. Do you have a slide for this?
I don't.
Okay.
I'll try it. Yep.
We're going to have an action item, scope change for line 7 for A03. What we'd like to do is use the unallocated E-rate funds To give some of you guys a background, I don't think we really talked about E-Rate, but E-Rate is basically, it's a federal rebate program that helps libraries and schools work on projects for internet and telecommunications to make them more affordable. So they base that on a discount rate that they apply to each school. It's based on enrollment numbers, free and reduced lunch program, and it spanned over several years. So there's a cap on how much you can claim to get that discount rate, and how much you can use per category. We're eligible at EANS for two different categories. One is telecommunications, and the other is internal networking equipment, which you use for obviously connected to the internet. So what we did for the wireless project, we actually made that an E-rate project and went through all the filings, and we're eligible for a 40% discount off the total cost of the project, which gave us a $234,000 rebate. Nice check, right? So what we like to do, we have a new curriculum program that's going to be presented in the NOC in that renovation, that D04 that Jeremy was talking about. It's going to be two classroom spaces in that area. Each space is going to need a computer cart. One of them will be acquired with donated funds. The other one, though, we'd like to use these funds to purchase. And then also, two middle schools, this curriculum will be out doing, it's like a co-curriculum between the middle schools and the high school. So they'll be working together in the same program. But the program, Swift coding, is pretty resource intensive, and the computer equipment at one middle school will not run it, and the other middle school doesn't even have equipment. So we'd like to use these funds also to purchase computers for two labs at the middle schools, and then also take the opportunity to upgrade two additional labs at the high school. One's Dale Baker's graphics arts lab, and then Emily McIntyre's film lab. So both of which do great work. There's old equipment, 2011 Apple computers. So we thought this would be a great use of funds for the students. So we'd like to just propose that we do a scope change to move those unallocated funds to A03.
Can you give a little bit more detail on number and types of equipment that you're proposing?
Sure. They're all going to be some type of Apple computer. And for the two classrooms in the NOC space, those will be Apple MacBook Pros to run the Swift coding. So they wanted to maintain mobility in that space so they could not be confined to a desk area.
Let me stop you for just
sure.
A very basic question I received from one of my friendly neighbors.
Sure.
He said, what is this Swift coding stuff? And how is that so different from any other computer class?
I'll tell you what. Gentlemen, what's going up here?
Sure.
Get to talk to Chris here for a change. Chris Miller, my assistant director. He's actually my Apple guru.
I wrangle fruit and penguins. That's kind of my thing. And he wrangles everything else.
Okay.
So Swift coding, of course, Swift coding is even though it's quote-unquote platform agnostic, it's really an Apple platform dependent if you're gonna get to it. But it is a flexible coding framework. They still have to have, I'm trying to translate this to a public type of soundbite. The nice thing about Swift coding is the kids still learn some of the object-oriented types of methodologies that are needed. Swift coding is an emerging language. It's more flexible. It's more intuitive. It's easier to use than, say, a Java. It's not as...
Okay, let me stop you at that.
Okay. I can get too technical, and I apologize.
So you can say the Swift coding is a computer language.
It's a computer
like
language.
Like the other computer languages.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And so does it require specialized equipment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so does that translate into, are we going to use more and more specialized equipment? I mean, expand this program then?
Currently, the curricular needs of the program, and this is a curriculum that is related to the business incubator curriculum. So the app development and all that still has that kind of flow. But I think right now we're looking at, actually we have elements of this coding all the way down through, in some form or another, down through kindergarten.
Okay.
Now, will it need other specialized equipment? Most of the elementary explorations of this, and they do more and more with robotics and some of the spheros and some of the things that they're purchasing, a lot of that can be done on the iPad. However, when you transfer over into making actual apps, which is what this would be designed to do, you have to have a computer to do that. You can't do that on the iPad.
Okay, so with your Swift coding now, you can develop different types of applications.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And it's used for that.
Yes, sir. Computer-based and mobile applications.
What's our model here? I mean, first, I mean, if we could get some numbers, and are we planning then on giving out a MacBook Pro to everybody in the class? Is it staying?
It's going to be a cart. So each class would have that opportunity to use that cart. So each cart would have approximately 30 computers, 30 to 32.
They're doing some of it now. Lynn Rozier and the other teacher, they're using some Mac Minis that we purchased with Perkins funds, and then some that I personally rebuilt from aging.
But are these staying in school, or are these?
Oh,
they stay in school.
Yeah, no, they won't be leaving the classroom.
Okay.
They wanted it mobile to accommodate their architectural.
So we're talking about 60 at the high school, and then what at the middle schools?
Looking at iMacs at the middle schools.
Well, actually, we're looking at the high school. We're probably looking at 90. So it'd be 30, one classroom, and the NOC would be 30, and then Dale and Emily, so 30 each.
Those would be iMacs.
Those would be iMacs, right? So those are the desktop versions, more powerful.
So 30 Mac Pros for the NOC space.
Mm-hmm. And half of those are
being... Which is actually two classrooms.
Well, one, like I said, the other classroom is going to have 30 as well, but there's donated funds. There's a community member that's offered to buy some.
And how does this compare to the rest of AO03 where we spent 1.2 or so replacing all the laptops?
Those funds were used across the district in various computer labs. So there was a lot of those were Dell computers. We had Dell laptops on carts as well. Right. That were for flex spaces across the campus.
But campuses. Didn't we refresh all the faculty notebooks?
No, those. I'm sorry. Yeah, teachers. Okay. Yeah, teacher Mac.
Teacher. We did a refresh of the district. Right?
Yes, sir. We did. We did.
Under A03.
Partially. Part of that was out of A03. The other part was out of IMA, which is the.
That's just another state funding source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just formulating my response to.
I'm just trying to get the funds from the student stuff to refurbish and upgrade the teachers, and now
correct.
We need more money that otherwise we would have been able to use for that. If we hadn't used it for the teachers, we would have that for this.
If we hadn't, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But. This is a new curriculum that they proposed for the NOC space, so we thought we'd take this as an opportunity to use these E-rate funds, which is what they'd like for us to use with technology, but you know, it's our option. We needed to use.
In the last board meeting, there was a community member that was concerned about the culinary that got cut due to lack of demand. How do we go about educating the community basically on how we have assessed the desire for this curriculum versus an alternative such as the culinary? Because neither one of them have actually really, nobody's really signed up for either one of them yet, right? I mean, or they're just beginning now, right?
Yeah.
Is there a number somewhere that we can point them to? Because they were like, there's no way that's right. You know,
yeah, I can find out what the actual number is. I know there's increased interest in this, in the Swift programming, plus computer science as well.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the design lab, as it's being called right now, is able to be used by more students than, like, say, a culinary, very specific type use. That's the ultimate, I think, benefit from the design lab. So it could be used for Lynn's computer science class, not necessarily, you know, Swift coding. Plus, it allows us to free up two classrooms in them.
You know, that might not be a bad thing, just to make sure that we're expressing that, yes. You know, hey, this is a general, you know, possible general use space for, you know, this XYZ, you know, this computer graphics, this, you know, promotion, you know, as opposed to
tying it to this is
just Swift coding space.
Yeah, I guess the idea was that bringing that up was the need for more horsepower on the computers. So with the Swift programming, there is a heavier need for that. But yes, these rooms could be used for multiple curricular activities. So
that's the plan, is that they will be.
Right.
Okay.
What else could be identified as possible uses for this? So if not this, what might you have done with it? Are there other areas that need other possible contingencies you should hold it back for?
Right. One good thing is we're in pretty good shape with the network now, with the refreshes we've done. We could definitely, down the road, use it for other upgrades for servers and storage, for example, some other infrastructure needs for technology. And also, there's also other needs for other labs that's going to come up at some point in the next couple of years. These labs that I identified are the oldest ones, though. So those would still be, like I said, my immediate needs. But we would probably definitely identify more for lab environments. Look to see what the next ones in lines are. It's just there wasn't
general purpose lab environments, mm-hmm. but yeah, nothing specific.
Nothing specific.
There's no burning. Nothing burning.
Nothing burning right now.
No burning buildings right now.
It's three labs.
Well, no, he said if we didn't have those labs.
Yeah. I know this is not your area per se, but are these students selected for these classes, for the Swift coding classes? Are they?
They sign up for them, so I don't know how that process goes.
I'm not involved in that.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more knowledgeable about the computer science class and what Lynn Rozier's doing. And he'll be one of the teachers involved with this program as well. And from what I understand, that he will teach his classes in there. He and another teacher teach the computer science one, and then there's a more advanced class that gets into the app development, things like that. So freshmen could potentially benefit from this. And I know that one of the things that he's wanted to do, both from a UIL standpoint as well as to grow the program, is to have more robust opportunities for middle school students as well. Mm-hmm. And that need is definitely, it's one of the things I keep hearing, not only from the kids in the business incubator room, but I think my first week here on the job, I saw a middle school student basically coding his own Facebook so that the TEDx youth presenters could keep in touch with each other. And my jaw just about dropped. So the interest and the need and the ability, and that's a rare. Not every middle school kid is coding on Facebook, but it certainly got my attention,
right.
and it's pretty incredible.
Okay.
And there are no prerequisites, and it's available for freshmen through seniors.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was formerly computer science pre-AP. So it's replacing computer science pre-AP.
Okay.
So it's still a pre-AP class?
Well, weight is 1.1.
Yeah. So that makes it a pre-AP.
Partially, I bring that up because you get another friend and neighbor. Because one explanation was given that it's a language. And it said, oh, like a foreign language. And so you have students going into a foreign language in that sense with computers in, and it builds on that. And then they're more advanced as you go up. And So then that brought up the question, well, who's elected or selected to go into those advanced classes then? And again, that's part of the curriculum, though, as far as the teachers and all. So that was explained, to make sure they speak on that. But it does, it evokes some interest in the general population, especially when we're looking at the amount of money that's going into this.
Absolutely.
So
we can find out some more information as well about, you know, how many sections are they anticipating based upon interest, and then the realization of how many sections are they going to actually provide in the fall.
I guess, Jeremy, has that question been asked, and has that number been given to the board as far as how many people, how many kids may be interested in this?
I do believe that background information was provided because the board has to vote on those new course proposals.
Uh-huh.
And so I can go back, ask some questions, but I imagine the rationale behind that was some of that, the interest in how many students. So I just need to revisit it. I can't recall.
Well, it's in just, general, we get very good response to our computer and technology type courses.
I know that the high school students had to submit their schedule requests back in February, I think.
I'm sure.
And so that would be when they would, that's when the school would actually have the data on how many students are interested in the class.
They're building their master schedules right now, so that takes weeks to do, but probably into this month, into April, we'll be able to know how many students have actually signed up for that class.
Yeah.
It's hard to know when you offer it to, you know, 2,700 students.
Well, I know it will not happen, but certainly not technology, not this day and time, but to allocate X number of dollars to this program and anticipate it growing and bringing in the students, and then it started falling flat 2, 3, 4 years from now because not enough interest in it. Now, I know that will not happen because of technology. They're going to be certainly interested in it. Our students are known for their interest in technology, and so it will go, but many times the neighbors don't know that. And so you have to explain it to
them. Well, this is an emerging language. Is this, I mean, this is a better, basically a better, they built a better, I think that's, to me, that's an argument that I assume you guys are ready to make in terms of the fact that the Swift coding requires higher powered devices, that there's added expense. But the yield is that this is going to be really valuable because this is the direction that the industry is going, and this is the direction that coding is headed.
Yes.
And I think that that's a strong argument.
I see it in professional circles, and I've used it myself.
Yeah, that in order for them to be prepared to go out and do this professionally,
right,
this is exactly the kind of stuff they're going to need to know.
I think that's
a good point, Eric.
It is.
I think when you present, lead with that concept first. Mm-hmm. Don't even talk, use Swift necessarily as the first word to identify with the request for funding, and emphasize the robust program that you're engaged in, and it's called this next coming year Swift programming or what Swift coding, and then it's less foreign. It's not a foreign word. It's it's a robust program.
Kids
are doing it. They're better doing it. Right. School needs it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, so you have somebody, a sixth grader who starts with Swift coding at Hill Country or Westridge in 3 years, that's now going to be a freshman at the high school. Are y'all going to be looking to upgrade to, like, is there going to be a Swift coding 3 and 4 and 5? I mean, like, at what point, I mean, these resources are obviously, you know, good for people who are just starting this, but you're going to have kids who now have several years of experience with this. Mm-hmm. And then where does it go? Where do we, you know, how do we serve them? Or do they learn it in sixth grade and then we don't have anything about high school?
It's like any language. The better you get at it, the more you can do with it.
Well, yeah, but that it's like, but then do we need more resources to support more advanced?
And
probably not now, but probably in the future, yes.
That's the answer.
Yes.
We've embarked on
technology.
I realize they kind of asked a question there.
But that would also be an indication of the success of the program as well.
Yeah.
So you could look at it that way.
Yeah. They have a curriculum that reaches, that they're targeting for the middle school kids. So it's not like they're necessarily having the same experiences at both. Although, the hope is that they will come with a stronger and stronger set of skills, just like in reading or mathematics. Or
yeah,
anything.
So like I said, my thing is, like, I mean, is there a plan in place that once you've educated those middle schoolers, when they get to the high school, mm-hmm. then you have a curriculum that continues to serve them going forward?
Absolutely. That, I believe, is in place with the curriculum that they're adopting.
A lot of these curriculum packages have the availability, right? We introduce curriculum, but then it has, you know, the entire straw man of what, from beginning to end, and we're just introducing maybe that first introduction to it, to where that curriculum probably includes highly advanced levels of just that coding and programming. Mm-hmm. What it could be. Good thing is we're going to have a space for it, and we're going to have the equipment they need to perform it.
Right.
You know, yes. That's kind of what we're trying to do and to support that program in the future.
Based on this discussion we've just had, that I anticipate the next BOC will be discussing Swift coding again for more equipment, because I suspect it's going to be a very popular program.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's. Anything else on just a different project, an overview of that? If not, we'll move on to the action items. And the first action item is the scope change to Project PO3 Upgrade Fire System FTE to increase the budget by, let's see it.
350 something? I'm wondering if we shouldn't just say approximately $350,000 in case Jeremy comes up and it shifts. I hate for it to be 352,782, yeah. And then he needs to change it by $300.
$350,000, $360,000.
Make it work for that.
Up to.
I would do it at 360.
$360,000. All right. So increase to the budget by $360,000. Then. All right. We've heard an explanation from Jeremy earlier on why that's necessary and what we need. Any further discussion on that? Or we will have a motion and then see if there's any further discussion. So do I hear a motion to move a scope change for approval?
So move.
Greg, move. Second, Tom. Any further discussion on this then? Anticipating questions we may have coming at us at this point.
So that would be moving it from the current unallocated funds.
Correct.
To,
right.
To
right.
This, to the BO3.
BO3.
This work is this summer, right, Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
And the specificity of the presentation is not necessarily exact. In other words, the 353 is coming from the unallocated funds.
Right.
However they get right. There. Doesn't matter where they come from.
We currently have that much in our unallocated.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 So moved. Increase the budget, $360,000 in BO3. Second action item, scope change project AO3. Increase the budget for additional student desktop laptops by, and again, we have a very specific amount of dollars here. Do you want to round that up some? You have on the agenda $234,042.
On that one, we want to just move the whole the entire E rate,
which is that exact amount.
Correct.
And what is that E rate?
It's that amount, $230,000.
It's
that number.
It's that number. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So apply all of the E rate funds to
right.
This.
All the E rate funds go to this. Okay. All right. Do you hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mike makes a motion to approve. Do you hear a second?
Second.
Second. Eric seconded. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
All right, financial reports and investments. Tell us how we stand. And you put one item in here, which I really appreciate, and let me find it. You indicated it was on... Yes. Fortunately, these pages are not numbered, but it's a reconciliation page.
Yeah. So I'll start with the totals page also. So our total expenditures to date is $43,814,610.
Got it.
So we'll see that number again on the reconciliation.
Right.
Sorry, I got some of these slides. Got some extra slides inserted today, so I'm figuring out how to navigate through these. Some money is better. I know, sorry. I think I'm getting past them. Okay, here we go. Here's our investment statement from our investment advisors. And our total investments of the $9,438,000 is where we stand today, and we'll see that number again in a second. And we are mostly in the pools at 1.57 is the current yield. And then we have that one Freddie Mac that will mature in October. So here's the reconciliation that shows where we started and what we've spent to date is that $43,814,000 that I pointed to a minute ago on our totals. And this just reconciles our cash to $9,438,000, which is what we saw that we have in the bank invested.
And we have since spent 83%.
We've spent 83% and we have... another about $3 million encumbered that we haven't spent.
Right.
But looking at actual money out the door, we're 83%.
83%, and that's what we're counting when we look at the qualifications for the BOC to conclude its business.
Right, is 90.
Money out the door.
Is right. Money out the door. So we just had the PO for the furniture and some other items. So our encumbered is another $3 million approximately.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was close.
Any questions?
Any questions on that?
Thank you.
Hearing none, we'll move to other business. Any other business? Hearing none, then the next regularly scheduled meeting, April 17th, 2018. And I appreciate you all being here very much. And I think we've accomplished quite a bit and communicated quite a bit.
We did an hour and 15 minutes with two action items.
That's pretty good.
Thank you all very much. You're adjourned. You're adjourned. Yeah.